Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I mean with my baby.
Yes. See, I built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby. You've always held me down. Ooh, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
Computer files and blew the whistle that they're monitoring us all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the NSA.
The state of terrorism.
Yeah, yeah, the NSA. Everything is terrorism. My sneakers are terrorism. My socks are terrorism. They do whatever they want. But, yeah, the heart machines. Actually, I'm going to say this one time because, you know, I'm into conspiracy theories. And you know why? Because they're real. Say what you want. Just Google.
It's always a conspiracy until 50 years later when we find out it's true.
That was true. Google the heart machine. You will see that the heart machine has something to do with the weather. And you'll notice that a lot of this crazy weather. So if you're wondering why it was like 30 degrees in May and it was 100 degrees in January.
Or even 60 degrees today.
Exactly.
It's the middle of June and we were freezing.
Exactly. So that's why they done screwed up the weather. And then they keep beating you in the head with Day After Tomorrow on TV so this way you can be calm about the flood.
And be prepared.
So just check it out. Do some of your own research. I'm not going to tell you how to think even though the government would like you to think a certain way. But it is Thursday night. That's not what we're talking about. We're not going to worry about the government. If they shut us down, they shut us down. This is reality and relationships, R&R, baby. And we're here about relationships, all types of relationships, not just male, female. We're talking about your kids, your job, anything that has to do with people dealing with each other. That's what Tiff and I do our best at trying to work at it and trying to deal with. But sometimes it can get very, very difficult. And my wife is going to feel, actually, you know what? How was your week, baby?
Actually, my week was okay. It went by really fast. You know, over the weekend, I had the pleasure of hosting one of our from American Beauty's Plus, Ms. Carlisa McCall.
What? Definitely.
Oh, stop it. And KO got to meet her also.
But that's a young lady from Seattle.
Yeah, she's from Washington.
Who owns her own school.
Yeah, she was
very
here.
Very nice, very nice.
She was here this past weekend visiting her grandmother.
They robbed her at the Hampton Inn, though. I'm sure they took her
for a
break.
Oh, my goodness. I could imagine. I could imagine if we had a place here, she could have stayed here, but.
No, we charging. You staying with us. You paying.
We're not going to charge as much as the in charges.
Yes, we are.
He's
but
so
you'll get
silly.
More food when we cook for you.
Anyway, Farlisa and her mom and her aunt drove in from D.C. because Farlisa actually lives in Washington, like KL said, where she owns her private school. And he had a trip to Brooklyn. She never rode the subway before, which is funny. And we went to Brooklyn to watch a fashion show of our designers. He's actually a staple in the Brooklyn community for the last 19 years, Mashoud. And he designs Afrocentric clothing. And he put his show over the weekend. And then she had her first subway ride. I was able to host. She was a little frightened, but we got through it. Other than that, for work, I'm happy to say I guess it's considered, it's not even a promotion. As far as my recent employment status change, that's what it is.
As much as I would love to talk about that, we're going to hold off because those are conversations that are still in deliberation and they haven't decided what they're going to do, and I'm not sure if I got to get the ski mask out to change some things, so we're going to chill on that one right now. But yes, they did some funny stuff, but we're going to work on that.
Yes, it's in deliberation.
There you go.
So there was an employment status change.
But a ski mask might be in effect if things don't sound the way it's supposed to sound. That's all I'm saying.
Other than that, my week has been pretty easy. I'm looking forward to the week because I'm headed out to Boys and Girls, which is my alma mater, where they're having a expo for the children. And I'm volunteering. I'm volunteering with the Zumba activities. There'll be about 28 activities a day.
What's the date, time, and location?
That's Boys and Girls High School in Brooklyn, New York. That's 1700 Fulton Street. It starts at 10:08 in the morning, and I believe it's going until 5 in the afternoon.
You're on the A train at Woodstock?
A train at Utica Avenue. And it's free. It is completely free. The kids can come out and enjoy themselves. Also, they receive gift bags for participating. Parents can participate as well in a Zumba challenge, which ever stays on the dance floor, the longest challenge between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. You can win a spa gift, and you may just need it. 5 hours, 4 hours dance floor.
And you've heard me say this many times before. These are the events that you should support. Actually, you should support any event that has local connections, because right now in the communities around New York City, they are hurting for participation for these things. You know, whether it's health, whether it's hair, whether it's literary, I don't care what it is. When local folks are putting on events, you have to show up, man. Stop paying the $17,000 to go down to the Barclays Center to see Beyonce, and you're going to sit so far away that you're looking at a big screen to see her anyway. When you could actually go out with some real folks and make a big difference with less money spent,
especially
come on, man.
Especially when they're family-focused events.
And they're free, so come on. This is serious business. I'm getting a little frustrated with what I see people spending money on. It seems like we can find money for everything but the things that matter.
The new Jordan.
I'm sorry. I'm seeing kids with iPhones and $200 sneakers, and they can't read.
Oh, my goodness. That's not even kidding me.
It's time now. And, you know, I guess as an independent businessman, I have a bigger problem with it when I got to beat you over the head to sell you a book that could actually help you or somebody in your family, but yet you'll run out and buy a pair of sneakers but don't even fall anymore simply because he wants to sell them to you, and they're the same sneakers that were out 20 years ago, but they charge you 10 times the price. Come on, man.
Listen, we had this discussion all the time. Kids walking around with $500 cell phones, can't read, can't write, and parents don't want to pay for tutoring for $20 an hour because they can't afford it.
it's interesting to go off on a tangent, is that... No, we took some kids to... Actually, no, you know what? I'll get to that in a second, because I just want to... I'm going to explain how parents don't realize how they're damaging their children. But go ahead, baby. What else is going on this weekend?
This weekend, that's about it. But you know, next week is Full Figure Fashion Week. I am so excited. It is the fifth year of Full Figure Fashion Week.
What is Full Figure Fashion Week?
Full Figure Fashion Week, the premier production by both signature events for plus size women, size 14 and up, showcase full, and I'm sorry, not just local design, we actually showcased the international designers this year also. Yes, this year I believe is the first international designer, but we are showcasing independent designers as well as retailer and boutiques. Fonzie is one of the sponsors. Lane Bryant was one of the sponsors. And this has been in effect since 2009, which was the first year. And I had the honor of modeling.
I was about to say, you keep saying we. What's your connection to this?
You know, I say we because even though I'm not a direct part of Full Figure Fashion Week, I am still a supporter. I'm still an advocate for plus size women. So I'm always going to say we. And that's why Gwen Bo, who is the executive producer of Full Figure Fashion Week, and I have a good because I support her 100%, because I believe from the beginning, if there was anyone who can pull this off effectively and do a good job at it, it was her. And she's been doing a good job at it, because every year, since the first year, every event at Full Figure Fashion Week has completely sold out, including this year. And actually, this year is the first year that the showcase is a full week. Normally, it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but now the showcase will be Sunday, Saturday, which is awesome. So I'm looking forward to it.
Part of the groundbreaking with this, because you did walk the very first year, correct?
Yes. I helped make history. In 2009, we were considered making history because it was the first production of this magnitude for full-figured women in the country. So I'm very excited that this is the fifth year and it's going stronger and stronger.
And fellas, I'm going to keep it very funky. If you into the thick chicks like I am, there's so much eye candy down there at all these events. Now, I ain't saying just show up because women look good. Support the cause. But it never hurts to see so many women of size looking beautiful. It's like somebody's going to let you just run loose to the M&M store. It's just, oh my gosh, beautiful, beautiful way. And
not
I'm married.
Not only beautiful, but fashionable.
Yes.
Big women who know how to dress.
Thick. And I'm going to tell you something, too. These ain't for the ordinary brothers either. It ain't for the ordinary, bro.
You have to have your A.
Yeah, man. And he just ain't no, oh, my self-esteem is so low.
Not
you showed
at
up
all.
With one blue shoe and I went home with you. No.
Not at all.
He's well-kept, together, educated, beautiful. Anything that you want to put behind, fantabulous, fantabulous, sensual, all of that.
Fantabulous. I like that, honey.
Yeah, well, I think I stole that from somebody. I don't know.
You probably did.
Yeah, I probably did. Anyway, well, whoever, to Anonymous, you get the credit. I'm just saying, whatever it is, if you trust me, go. Now, a lot of the events are sold out, but there's still openings and some other things. It's fffweek.com, and we're not just promoting it for the sake of promoting it. We're promoting it because we have a direct connection. Gwen DeVoe, she has been a supporter of Tiffany and I since we started. She has been a supporter of Braven Publishing. She has been the mentor through my wife's and my wife's career, and I really do not believe that my wife would where she's at in her own fashion career if it wasn't for the guidance of Gwen DeVoe, because I have seen what effect Ms. DeVoe has had on her and other women like my wife. So I try to give back and support wherever I can to someone that I see doing tremendous things. So definitely support Full Figure Fashion Week, fffweek.com. Tell them that Braven Publishing sent you. So anything else going on, darling?
I have some things going on later in the week, but I just don't want to discuss everything.
No, I got you.
But, you know, as it comes up, I'll let
you. Well, a week has been, I don't know, with my grandmother being in the hospital, I don't think anything else really matters. Trying to get her strength back so we can finally get her home and fight the fight that we have to keep her healthy. But I can honestly say my week has just been tumultuous at best. Yes, I said that word, so go look it up. Tumultuous. Yes, you have to get your diction up. Mine is up. But anyway, because my brain has been all over the place between trying to finish out the school year, trying to finish up on the projects that I'm working on, trying to work on Braven Publishing, trying to make sure that we do the promotion of the radio show. Shout out to GQ Palace Radio. Always got to give them love for allowing us to be on every week. Make sure that you tune in to the other days of the weeks when they have shows on. Tremendous people behind those shows. Tremendous people behind GQ Palace Radio itself. And it's, again, something that you need to support. I can honestly say I've been somewhat brain fried because I'm not trying to block my blessings. I'm not trying to feel down in any way with all the things that the Lord has blessed me with. I know that these shoulders were made large for a reason, because the Lord places a lot on them because he wants me to come a lot. But I have to admit, sometimes they seem overwhelming. So I have been trying to reconnect myself spiritually with things that I need to move this family company forward. I have some writing projects. I'm trying to recommit myself to do more writing. This week has been a little taste of that. I'm got my book back edited and I'm working on this new story. So I think for me it's been interesting at best. When listening, please, we thank you for listening. We hope that you tell a friend. If you're listening in on a computer, tell a friend to join us. Tell them they can call in from their phone. 646-200-3838. If you're listening from your phone, call somebody up. Text them something to tune in, because we definitely have a special guest that's going to be on in a little while. We'll tell you in a little bit. We're going to keep a little secret. But this is what's going on. So my week has been what it is. So I'm not going to complain or anything else.
I guess we should tell us that we're also looking for a place to live.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, that's the other part of the week. And, you know, we caught a little blow to the chest today. We had an apartment that we looked at Tuesday. I don't know how we didn't feel. We forgot all about that.
And we
I guess we're trying to block it out.
Yeah, it's traumatic stress.
We saw an apartment Tuesday that we really liked. Nice size for a one-bedroom apartment. Everything was perfect. They always say when something's too perfect, you got to take a step back and look at it. But we thought we had did all the things that we needed to do. We contacted a real estate person. We showed up after work. Went to check out the first apartment. Didn't like it. They showed us another one that they were working on. We loved it. And they said we just had to get the paperwork and the money. Well, we figured once you get to that point, you're good. So we took a day to get all the paperwork together. Had the money. Ready to go and do what we had to do. Only to get the text message today, somebody else got the apartment. And it was
very disappointing.
Yeah, very, very. Because, you know, it was, we're trying to get out of the situation that we're in just to feel comfortable as a couple. So Tiff and I always place what we're dealing, what we're doing out front. But, you know, we're human. And when things don't go the way that we plan, it can be very depressing. But again, we're not going to block our blessings by hanging our heads. We just get right back on the real estate market and see. And if you have a reputable real estate person who has apartments in Queens, we're not looking in Brooklyn. We're not going to give all our details on the air. Hit us up at info@Braven Publishing or Black Love Radio New York at gmail.com and let us know how we can get in touch and we can set something up.
We need a place to live.
Yes, we do. So what's going on in the news, darling?
Well, I pulled out one story because I haven't really been paying attention to the news lately, but there was one story that really touched my heart. And it was in Michigan, I believe. Yeah, Bloomington, Michigan. And
that was the one where the woman got hit by the car?
I said a story that touched my heart.
So she got hit by the car and she saved her baby. I thought it was that.
Oh, my goodness. That's another story.
Well, the guy had the heart attack and ran. Just...
Yeah. The guy... George, yes. So, Kale's interrupted me. I'm trying to tell my story.
All you had to do was nod yes. You didn't have to let people know I was asking you something. Get on your grind. Get on your grind.
Anyway.
Thank you.
The story that I wanted to tell, thank you,
yeah,
is about the five-month-old who was choking. And the babysitter called 911 because apparently whenever he was choking, they weren't able to take it out, get it out of his throat. And he was turning blue. One of the neighbors happened to be walking by and heard what was going on. He ran into the house, got a turkey baster, put it in the baby's mouth, and was able to dodge whatever in the baby's throat. And the baby survived.
Turkey baster.
A turkey baster. Can you imagine that? And, you know, the most interesting...
Finally, somebody using a turkey baster for the right thing instead of somebody trying to pull off some ratchetness of trying to get themselves or somebody else pregnant or something like that. Finally, somebody using a turkey baster outside of something for cooking the right way. That's what I'm talking about.
And it's interesting. I don't know if a lot of people know, when it comes to infants that young, it's very hard if something gets lodged in their throat to dislodge it with the normal process because they don't have enough air in their lungs to get the food out. So a lot of times something like this will result in the baby, you know, choking to death. And thank God, it almost made me want to go out and buy a turkey baster, honestly.
See, that's the setup. That's the setup.
I mean, it's almost like you want to advocate everyone with infants going out and buying a turkey baster.
What?
Just in case.
Oh, please.
Come on, honey. Who would have thought? He, that quick thinking.
What happened with the child again?
He saved the child's life.
How?
With a turkey baster.
You put it in her mouth?
Yes, he sucked out whatever was causing her to choke.
Why didn't he put his mouth over her mouth and suck it out himself?
Honey.
Which is what you're supposed to. See, if he had training, he wouldn't have had to lead a child to a turkey baster. He'd do what he's supposed to do. Put your mouth over the child's mouth and suck it out yourself. Is it nasty? Yes. Do you save the child's life? Yes. Thank you, turkey baster. Kind of. All right, it
worked. I cannot believe you're taking away from his heroism.
No, I'm not. But
yes.
I'm hating on the turkey baster.
Why are you hating on the turkey baster?
If he knew what he was supposed to do, he wouldn't have had to go get the turkey baster. That's like saying, okay, I went and got this. Okay.
Well, people,
so I guess the A is part of me.
Listen, a lot of people don't know that. You're the physical and health educator. Everyone doesn't have that degree sitting on their
read
wall.
What to expect when
well,
expecting.
Well, he had a turkey baster, and he saved a five-month-old's life.
Ah, okay.
No.
I guess he's going to cut her hair with a potato peeler next.
You know.
Hold on, baby. We're getting cut.
I don't think I like you very much.
He did save a life, too. Yes, I agree. I'm just saying, you know. And then what happens if it didn't work? I'm just saying, sometimes use the proper techniques, man.
It did work.
Just because it worked don't mean it do. Okay, it worked. All right, cool.
And I bet you a bunch of mothers are going to go out and buy turkey basters now.
Let me get some turkey baster stock right now. Butterball make those, man. Let me, you know what? I'm hitting the streets right now. Gigolo to Jesus and turkey basters. That's how we going to do it. I can teach you how to not make the babies, but if you did, I can teach you how to save them. Let's go. It's your autographed turkey baster right now. What else going on in the news? Anything else going
on? That's the only thing. And, oh, the story that you were talking about where the woman practically lifted the car off her baby.
She tried. Other people came to help out, but she did save her child's life. And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, you have to forgive me for not knowing
the details.
Well, no, I know the details. I don't know the area. Woman was walking with a child, and the gentleman had a heart attack.
He was driving.
He was a taxi driver. Yeah, that's right. He was a taxi. And so he spun out of control, and he hits this woman. And I mean, she's Superman at one point. Body completely off the ground, midair. He knocks her to the side, and the baby is under the car. The woman runs over and attempts to try to lift the car. Now, of course, it would have been a super incredible story if she actually lifts the car, takes the child out. But what she did, I guess, and whatever she did, I guess, was allowed the baby to stay alive until people came to help. Then she was able to remove, what is it, 18 months? It was an 18-month-old baby from under the car. And it was an incredible video, incredible story. But the only thing I didn't like about the story, yes, you know me, I hate on a lot of things. He didn't say what happened to the brother in the car, if he died or not. It was like just everything stopped when it was about the baby.
Well,
so,
you know what's funny? When you were telling the story, I didn't ask you. I said, did the baby survive? Because the car was basically on top of the baby. But I said, did the baby survive? And I never stopped to ask about the taxi driver. Because your heart jumps out for the baby first.
And if anybody wants to get into the conversation at GQ Palace General Question on Facebook, you can jump in and talk with the other folks who are talking about the turkey baster. Because I don't care. I will hate on the turkey baster all night. Because, you know, oh, what's next? He going to get the bong when the child having an asthma attack? Here, take a puff of this.
Yeah.
Open your lungs up. What's next? The hookah?
I can't believe it.
Save my child's life with a hookah.
I can't believe it.
Now pull it in slow.
I can't believe that you would take away from the heroic moment that this
man... I'm not saying it's not heroic.
You know, the crazy thing about it is, what I didn't mention is there were two babysitters. There were two babysitters.
Who didn't know what to do.
Who didn't know what to do. They called 911.
You should have turkey based them and beat them with the turkey babysitter.
They called 911 while the baby can't breathe. The baby was turning blue and basically waiting for the ambulance to come.
My mom, a long time ago, and of course she's a nurse, so there's some inside thing there. Baby is choking. Cover baby's nose and mouth, your complete mouth, and suck the gunk out of there to free up nasal and throat passage so the child can breathe. Is it nasty? Yes. But will it save the child's life? Yes. I have no problem that my man thought, turkey baster. Now, I'm a little nervous of why he even thought about the turkey baster, but we could talk about that another day, because we'd have to sit down and go, brother, why was you thinking about the turkey baster like that? But okay, whatever. He saved the child's life. He gets credit from me. I'm still hating on the turkey baster. Whatever. Turkey baster.
Anyway.
Come on, man.
Anyway.
Come on. You know what? I'll be right back. I'm going to get a turkey baster. Before we go to a break, actually, you know what? We got T on the line, but hold on, T, because we're going to take a break, because we're also going to talk about the guests that we have coming on. So when we come back after the break, we're going to take T's call, and then we're going to get to our guests. So we're going to announce who our guest is, and then we'll take T's call. We'll take it from there. So, as y'all go look for your turkey bases to make sure that they're working efficiently, Tiff and I will be back. You're listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. If you're listening from a computer, if you want to talk to us, call in at 646-200-3838 or just tune in at blogtalkradio.com/GQ/Palace. Love to hear from you. We'll be back in two songs. I gotta go find my turkey base.
Yeah. I know you wanna go there. But before we take it there, I have a few things I need to clear up. That is something no one
another level. So here's a few things you need to think about.
My lovely co-host and wife, B. Braxton Belvin. And you always have to give a big shout-out to GQ Palace for the music choices between the breaks, man. Always great songs. Will you love me when I'm old? See, that's really the question. So, you know, it's funny because tonight we're going to be talking about ratchet women and how do you deal with some of the situations they can place you in. We're going to talk about that with our special guest tonight. But before we go to the special guest, we had T on the line, so we're gonna bring T in and we're gonna talk to T for real briefly before we get into our special guest tonight. So T, are you there, darling?
Yes, I am.
Hey T.
What's up, dog? How we
hey,
doing?
Jeff. KL.
Yes.
You know what? Between me and Tiff.
Uh huh.
Da 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 da.
You know what?
Wait a minute. If you're talking about ratchet women with your special guests, why you bring me on now? I want to get into the deep conversations about talking about. You're not going to talk about women like that.
Yes, we are. That's why we bring you on.
And I want to be a part of it.
That's why we bring you on now, because we're going to let the guests rock out. That's why we have guests on.
Yeah, you see that, right, Tiff? He wants to get me on before the special guest come on.
That's
so
it.
I can't say anything.
There you go. That's how we're going to do it. I don't even know
what
to do.
That's not even nice.
I'm saying that's how we do. That's how I ain't got to worry about no problems.
Wow, are you serious, KL?
You know, what are the things that I like to do when I'm interviewing someone? I like to give them the time to rock out, do what they got to do. So when we open up the lines, feel free, write your questions down, write your statements down. So, you know, I want to bring up something that was said earlier.
But you know what?
We're going to have a Q&A. We're going to let the folks call in and get at the special guest. But first, I want people to get to meet them and know what's going on. So do you want to hold? You want to come back on later so we can go right in?
Oh, I will push one again. I'm sure the switchboard operator let me come back on. So
got
I only want to talk right now.
No problem. Abstain, Your Honor. She's going to withhold her questioning until later on.
She's going to need some help, honey, on this, talking about ratchet women.
Now, you forget I'm the author from Gigolo to Jesus. If there's nothing I know about
We don't care.
We from here with the guest guys. So, T, I tell you what, come back in. When we open up the lines, definitely come back on, ask whatever questions that you want. This is what we do. So we're
All right. I love you guys.
Love you guys. That's T, guys. She'll definitely be back. But let me set this up the right way. We have getting ready to come on the line is a good friend of mine. This brother and I go back quite a few years. We have created poetry together. We had a separation. And he's going to tell you about all of that. And then now that we've reconnected, this brother creates poetry. He creates music. Very dynamite brother, as well as he is a man of God. And so his situation is connected to some of the ratchetness that women can do. And he'll go into as much as he chooses to. I'm not going to push it one way or the other because we like to have our guests when they come on feel free to talk about or take it anywhere that they want. But I just want you to not only meet this talented man, I want you to meet a friend of mine, and that is Brother Faith Walker. Brother Faith Walker, are you on the line?
Where's Faith Walk?
Brother Faith Walk, you there?
Da, 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 da.
My word's played.
Yeah, definitely, man. I learned not to play with my words no more.
Well, we gonna talk about that, brother. How you doing tonight, brother?
Man, I'm doing righteous, man. Just finished cutting the grass. You know, we in the country, so you know, it takes like all day to cut some grass around here. But nevertheless, we got it done.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, brother, why I got you on the line, man? You know, I said a lot about who you are. Why don't you take a couple of minutes and just explain who you are, what you do, and what got you to this point right here? Briefly, let the folks know a little something about yourself.
All right. Well, I'm Damian Leonde Joshua Brown. Joshua name the Lord gave me when I became a man. Wasn't a man before, far from a man. I'm known as Faith Walker. Some call me the Green Mile. Some call me, you know, the New Living Joseph. I'm calling a lot of things these days, but I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his mercy. I'm an artist. I'm in wordplay, too. Man, so it's a lot. I do music. Poetry. I'm also a producer at Almega Waters. Holler at me on them beats. You need them beats. We'll work with you. Definitely, man, went through a lot of storm and rain. Got set up because, you know, I was kicking it with a woman. And I wasn't totally honest with her. I was being player player, you know. And I made a habit of just going around hurting sisters and just playing with their hearts. But then I ran up against one woman that was just, you know what I mean, that was my match. And she told me that I would be her best hello and her worst goodbye. And if I wasn't thinking about booty so much, and if I was thinking about integrity and conducting myself properly all those years ago, I wouldn't have got caught up in the situation. The warning signs were there, but I was thinking with a head that wasn't educated. So inevitably, I was set up. Her family had some dark secrets. And because of the first name, my first name, and another individual's first name, I try to elaborate much as I can on that topic. Because me and that particular individual shared the same first name. because this family didn't want to get exposed to their dark secrets, they chose Faith Walker. Spent 5 years in prison on sexual assault charges. It was crazy, you know. It wasn't accused because of evidence. Lie detector test was bogus and everything. I got set up all around the board. It wasn't even because of evidence, but it was just because of everything. And this woman, you know what I mean, this particular woman, she didn't show no, I don't know how she sleep at night, but I still pray for her. I pray for her that I don't be her hindrance for having that peace with God. So, I went down because of a ratchet woman. I went down because of ratchet women, but the warning signs was always there for me. It was always there, and had I been paying attention to those signs, I wouldn't have got caught up. So while I've been down, I was doing, as they say, the math, or just doing the knowledge to a lot of things in my life. And I said, well, how can I keep a situation like this not happening again? And so I just began to, you know, go back along the lines of my own life. And if you don't like the fish that you're catching, you need to check the bait you're using.
Gotcha.
And so that's basically in a nutshell.
Now, I got you, brother. And you know what? I appreciate you being so candid and so honest. So let me take you in this direction here. With the fact that you laid it out there, that you admitted to not thinking clearly and not being as discerning as you should with things that was presented to you, what's one of the things that you would mention to someone right now who's caught up in what they want from the woman compared to what they actually need from the woman?
Well, see, with me, see, I mean, I was, as they say, I mean, I'm transparent. I'm open book, and I'm transparent. I mean, I was going all in with sisters. You know what I'm saying? I had made a living. I had mastered my body. You understand what I'm saying? I had mastered my body to the point that I know this is a grown show, but the sexual movements become a communication to a woman and get her to do what you want her to do, whether it be just to have your way or just to play the game that men play now. And so I had some issues on the inside. I had some issues on the inside. That's what happened with me. You know what I mean? I was looking for love, but see, I didn't know the definition of love because what I witnessed in my own childhood, you know what I'm saying, for people who are of a male figure. So the concept of love got twisted at an early age. So, and then you get into a relationship and wasn't fulfilled, so you go around to different sisters and you just try to apply, you try to communicate love through your physical, through your flesh, and it just never really amounts to, anything. So I think once you tie yourself to a force that's just superior to your own, you know, which is the Most High, which is God, once you tie yourself into Him, you be able to find out what the true meaning of love is.
Wow. You know, and I appreciate that, brother. That's a fantastic answer. You know, looking at the time incarcerated, it would be very easy for a man to become bitter, to become spiteful, to practice hatred. Once finding the Lord, did you have the Lord of your life before you were incarcerated, or did you reconnect once you were incarcerated, or did you reclaim your faith once you were freed from the incarceration? When did you and the Lord, and trust me, brother, I know a lot of these answers, but I got to make sure I open up the door for everybody listening.
Definitely.
When did you and
go ahead.
When did you and the Lord, when did you reconnect with the Lord for you to be able to start that transition away from the man that you just spoke about?
2007, I stopped hypocriting.
Okay.
See, you know, I got originally saved 2001, but it took me 7 years to learn how to live as a man of God. When you come from the streets, when you come from, you know, doing a lot of things in the bedroom and all of that stuff, the blunts, the drugs, the dealing, all of that stuff, when you come from that past and you want to, and you're learning how to transition all of that into something positive, and when you used to operate in a high level of evilness, I mean, it's just hard to make that transition if you don't fully submit yourself to God. See, I didn't fully submit myself. I didn't fully submit myself, so I got the fruits of my labor. Had I fully submitted myself and just, you know what I mean, because I wanted to do it the right way. I wanted to find a wife and everything like that, but I didn't want to do it his way. So I came into the church with a worldly way of doing things. I wanted to live right, but I said, man, I want to get it in, as they say. I want to get it in, and you know, in the context of marriage. So I try to find a wife doing it the worldly way, you know what I mean, instead of doing it his way. And when I did it like that, it just messed up the order. It just messed up the order, you know what I mean. And then you begin to release a lot of things within yourself. And so instead, then you be blinded to the whole situation because you begin to be, you convince yourself that, hey, I'm not doing nothing wrong. I'm trying. But then you fall back into that same pattern that God showed you mercy to begin with and delivered you from. So I found myself back into that. But I've been celibate ever since 2007. You know, 2007, I repented to the Lord for going in that direction. But, you know, what you sow, you reap. I already opened the door for the enemy to come in and be the accuser of the brethren. You know what I mean? So no matter if I got it right with the Lord, see, a lot of people say, well, you know, I repented. I made my peace with God, so I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it no more. But, yeah, but you still got consequences for your actions. You know what I'm saying? You still got consequences for letting that door open. Rather or not, you didn't do it, Faith Walker, but you still had consequences because you slept with this woman and broke other sisters' hearts, and you knew about what the Lord required of you. So that's
Faith,
what happened with
me. Let me ask you something, because something you mentioned in the beginning, and it's something that when I'm talking with my friends, I'm talking with women about relationships, I always say, when they're in a very bad relationship, especially, that they're signs. And you said there's always signs that the person that you're with is not a good person to be with. Give us an example, even if not with the case, you know, that got you incarcerated, but just in general.
Okay, well, I say it like this. Like, if you're dealing with a person who hasn't come to peace with their past issues, like if they've been in a relationship and it was just very toxic, you know, if you put your hand over a stove and you get burnt, it takes time for that wound to heal. It takes time for that wound to heal. So, but if you ain't healed and you go right back into a situation and you ain't fully healed, when you make certain movements in that wounded area, you're going to be, ow, ow, what happened? I got hurt in this area. And so it causes a reaction. So I think the thing with me is that if you're involved with somebody who hasn't let go, see, if you analyze a person who jumped from relationship to relationship, 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 then you deal with somebody who haven't been in a relationship in some years or some time, it's a difference. But I think when you haven't allowed yourself to heal and to really develop in that area, man, you have a messed up way of thinking about it because you've been with this person who thought this way. Then you go in to be in a relationship with this individual who thinks another way. So by the time you get to relationship 15 in less than a 10-year period, you all jacked up because you done been with so many different people who got so many different points of view. Now you really ain't got no foundation of your own because you done compromised not only yourself, but you done compromised all around the board, and you just a person just wavering and just become very double-minded.
It's so funny he said that because I say that all the time, too, that you don't give yourself a chance to, like he said, heal from the first relationship. You jump into another one. And sometimes we go into relationship one way, come out of it another way, go into the next relationship, and you're never the same person you were when you were in the relationship. It's just you have to learn how to get it together before you go from one to another.
And you're listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10. Our special guest on tonight is Brother Faith Walker. He's laying it down, explaining to you what's going on and how he got to where he is in his life. And I know some of y'all might have thought when we said we was talking about ratchet women, y'all thought we was going in on the ladies. But see, here's what you don't understand is that, no, we're not going to go at the ladies simply because they're ratchet. We're going to go at situations that come from the ratchetness because no one is helped in a finger pointing contest. No one is helped when you just sit and pile trash on somebody else, because if you were a part of it, then you were a part of it, whether you were a victim or whatever. Now, here's my thing, is that I had wrote just now in a group that a lot of men have to find themselves. And I know that you said since 2007 you made that commitment. Now, you and I talk on a regular basis, and we have many a conversation about the Holy Scriptures and about the understanding of the Scriptures and how a lot of people get lost in translation with the Scriptures. Now, my thing is, I want you to, and this is a little away from just the women, we're going to talk about just ratchetness people, is explain to the folks listening your Joseph moment. And the reason why I say your Joseph moment is Joseph was sold out by his brothers, left in a foreign land, incarcerated for something that he didn't do, but the whole time the Lord was working on him for something greater. You and I have stayed in contact. You and I have kept in contact with each other through all that you were going through. Please explain to the people listening the type of people that you had around you and in your life before the incarceration and what those same folks decided to do once you were incarcerated.
Man, let me tell you something. Me, you know what I'm saying, I was the founder of a group called Demon Killers Batoon. But those who do know, they know it was pretty big at its time. We had gospel playwriters, we had gospel rappers, we had gospel singers. I mean, you name it, we had it. You know what I mean? And you know what I'm saying? I had a lot of people who were just, you know, who was coming after me that's really like, wow, let me get on the track. Let me get you on the track. This and that and that. I had a record deal on the table. We're doing pretty good things, you know what I mean? Good things. And this is wild, you know what I mean? Because, you know, we had a lot of church people around me, pastors, everything. You name it, we had it. Probably your favorite gospel artist, he probably knew about us too. And the sad thing about it is that when it went down, the whole situation went down with me, is that, you know, I told everybody, I was upfront about, you know, I was creeping with this individual and this is what happened. They said, well, you know, you ain't do it. We know you ain't do it. She, you know, we know she's just trying to make some noise or whatever. Okay. But when it all went down, I had a pastor that robbed me. Okay, I had people who was in my circle, and KL was the only one that was there. Him and his wife, they was the only one that was there the whole time from beginning to end. You know what I mean? And I mean, it's like everybody who was straight up so-called demon killers or demon this and demon that and all of that stuff, everybody walked away from me. You know, everybody walked away from me, and they just let me hang it. So, and I went through that situation alone, you know what I mean? And I had to learn who God was on my own because I didn't have no church to really teach me how to live and how to read my Bible and all that stuff. All that stuff, I really learned through a lot of God. I don't know how I'm going to do this, God. And just a lot of tears and stuff like that, a lot of midnight hour stuff. In the midst of all of that stuff that was going on with the hits and everything that was coming at me at the minute, I really learned who God was in my darkest hour. So, but, yeah, that's why when I go into churches now, when they jumping, they shouting and rolling all over the floor and like that, I just look at them because I say, you know what? And I'm a man of God. I preach and teach and everything, you know, but I don't get caught up in that because this is real for me. This is a culture for me. This, you know what I mean? I take this very seriously because it's so many of us, after you get off the floor, you go out there, you cuss out your neighbor, you do this or you do that, and, you know what I mean, when all the church and activities is done, you know. So, and I had people who were supposed to be, you know, pastors and all that stuff rob me. And you know what I mean? And I had to forgive all these people when I came home because I didn't realize I was bitter when I first came home, and I really had to allow myself to be purged and dug out from all of that because I couldn't grow to the person who God would have me to be by carrying all of that around, you know? So, I mean, it's, you know, and even to this day now, you know, it just, you know, it's like a saying that a person said, I think it's a saying that many people have heard before they adapt, but it said that my setback may have amused you, but my comeback is going to confuse you.
Oh, no doubt.
My comeback is going to confuse you. So that a lot of people has been definitely scratching their heads a lot since I came home. They're like, okay. It seems like every time we think we count him out, he comes through. But it ain't me coming through. It's just God bringing me through. So,
you know, everyone listening, it's easy to prejudge any situation. And the reason why I asked Faith to explain that aspect of his life is that one of the things that I talk to him about on a regular is not just reading scriptures and understanding scriptures, it's attempting to actually become living scripture.
And apply it.
And, well, that's what it is. Well, you can't become living scripture if you don't apply it. And that's what I mean by living it, is that when someone can look at the way that you live your life and they see the scriptures played out, well, then you don't have to say too much. because it'll already speak for itself. And one of the things that him and I discussed is that it is very easy for people to say, I got you. I got your back. I'm with you. No problem. Yo, I'm down with you, son. But the scriptures speak of that. Peter leaned over and actually had the nerve to ask Jesus, which one of us is the greatest? You know, I got you. Don't worry about it. He was very braggadocious. But when it came time to hold that weight, Jesus had already said to him, you're going to wild out when the time comes, so I'm just letting you know that now. But the crazy thing is, and I want people to understand this about faith, is that he had every reason to be bitter. He had every reason to be angry, every reason to just hate those around him, including the women, mothers, children, stuff like that. But he chose to go a different route, and the Lord has allowed him to be blessed by it. So faith fast-forwarding past the incarceration, now you're home. Now you're reestablishing yourself. Now you're doing the things that you do. How did it change? How has everything that's going on with you changed, not just your poetry, because you and I used to get it in. Every now and then I got to pull my pen out just to let folks know it's not what you think it is, and that's how I always, you and I talk about this. How has your situation changed your poetry and your music production? How is things different now when you sit down to pen a piece or when you go into the lab to really make something? Because we're going to play something from you before the night's over so folks can see, and we always play something every week. But just give us an idea of what that's been like now when you go into the studio and when you sit down to contemplate what you're going to write.
You know what? It's funny because you said about Judas. And, I had a Judas moment since I came home, because I came home. One of the artists that I work with, you know, the album I produce it, and then folks who know me in the inner circle know about the situation. You know what I mean? The album won a Holy Hip Hop Award. You know what I'm saying? It won a Holy Hip Hop Award. I came home, this particular artist, you know, he took the credit and everything, and he didn't produce a lick on the album. But he felt like, you know, Faith Walker wasn't going to make it out of prison, or God wasn't going to bring me out there. Well, he ain't going to need these, you know, the album credits and everything. And these are people of God and stuff like that. And just coming home, period, and walking in, you know, I walk in certain churches, and then, you know, a couple of people look like, yo, that's him, you know, that's him. And then, you know, certain individuals who are preachers, or Pharisees, and I ain't gonna say preachers, I'm gonna say Sadducees and Pharisees, and then they see that I got something that's different from them by the grace of God, you know, and then, you know, you go through a little the church stuff and stuff like that. But when I sit down and pen a piece, it's more real to me now. I just seek to educate people. I just seek to just allow people to be illuminated and empowered by what I write. It's more personal to me. It's more of a mission now. Because now, you know, I voice certain situations, relationships. You know, I wasn't ready for marriage and relationships and all of that stuff now, because I didn't know what it was. Oh, I know what it is now. You know, I did like the FBI dudes. You know, the pen and counterfeit, you study the real. So, you know, I study the real, and the real is Christ. So that's what I do, and it just come real to me now. It's just more real to me now.
Got you. All right, so you know I gotta ask, man. I gotta take it there, bro. So buckle up, because before
Come on.
We go for the break, we're gonna get into this a little bit. How has things changed with your relationships currently, as a man of God? Because a lot of women may not be used to or ready to hear a man say, "I'm celibate," or "I'm rock."
Man,
many of them may not be ready for that. So how do you deal with that? Because no,
man.
It can be rough.
Go ahead. Man, there's, you know, I got a lot of sisters in my circle right now. I'm talking about, I got a lot of strong women in my circle right now, and those who I do confide in, like it's been situations where I had sisters take their clothes off, and I've had to tell them, put your clothes back on, honey. Okay, I mean, I'm about to go to a church the next day, and I'm sleeping on a couch in a house full of people, and I'm talking about a sister roll up on me in the middle of the night, talk about, won't you come in my bed? And I'm like, go to bed, sister. You know, it's situations like that. Nobody would have blamed me if I came home and just started, you know, wilding out. You know, they would have said, you know what, man, I don't blame him. After all that girl put him through and everything like that, I don't blame him if he came home and just started wilding out and just started, you know, just back on the corner, just like, man, I'm just going all in. Nobody would have blamed me, But what really does it now is just, you know, as far as relationships, man, it's crazy. It's crazy because I had a lot of sisters that just really won't rock with me because, you know, I don't go there with them. It's like, dag, Faith, you know, what's going on? I'm like, I'm waiting on God. You waiting on God? And what's wrong with me? I'm like, nah, ain't nothing wrong with you, but it, yeah, I just can't take it there. Because I need that power. I need God's power to fight them demons that try to come after me because God brought me out of a situation like that. Because he brought me out of such of an ugly place, you know what I'm saying? There are always forces at work trying to come against me. So God is keeping me. I need that power, man. That's why I live holy now because I understand what it is. It's that virtue. When you talk about the Proverbs 31, man, when you talk about that virtue, you see, in Proverbs 31, man, he needs that virtue to fight against those forces that are out there that are trying to drain him of the power that he's supposed to be washing his woman with, pouring into her with.
Man, be careful. Be careful.
See, man, we could go all night off that, man. But I'm just, you know, I'm standing on my post, man.
No, you know what? No, but that's the reason why I said be careful, because you know some folks are scurry into their Bible, go Proverbs 31. I thought that was for the female. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. Yes, check out Proverbs 31, and it is addressed to the female. Now, here's where my man Faith, and I love him to death, right? Faith been pushing me, and I'm trying to get this together for Sunday, so I'm hoping to have it ready Saturday. One night, Faith and I was talking, and you know, when the two of us get to talking, the Lord speaks to both of us. And so I said to him about the Proverbs 31 man. He said, whoa, wait a minute, KL. I ain't never heard of Proverbs 31. Man, I know Proverbs 31 woman. And I had to explain it to him like this. And if you ain't near your scriptures, jump on your computer. No excuse not to be near a Bible when you're near a computer because you can just get on. Just put in Proverbs 31. If you can't wrestle with the King James Version, get the NIV Version. It speaks a little clearer to you. But either way, check it out, Proverbs 31. For a woman to be the Proverbs 31 woman, the Proverbs 31 man has to, no in between, no halfway. He has to be so connected to God that he understands everything that the Proverbs 31 woman has to be. So this way, when she becomes that, he automatically knows when he's dealing with a woman who is his equal, who is the person that will sustain and fulfill him. Because a Proverbs 31 man knows that she was supposed to lay at his feet, not at his side, not on top of him. That she was supposed to submit to his feet, not saying I'm weaker than you, that I am saying that I am submitting to you as the man of God because I expect you to take care of me. Now, what's the proof? The minute that man, Proverbs 31 man, saw that he had a righteous woman at his feet, the first thing he said was, don't lay there at your feet. Come on up here and warm under my covers. See, so ladies, and this is Faith and I joke about this, if we can teach brothers how to become that Proverbs 31 man, we can then fulfill what the Lord expected us to do with our Proverbs 31 women. Now, am I wrong there, Faith? You help me out there, brother.
No, you're not wrong. It's just that a lot of sisters are like, okay, well, what are you talking about, Proverbs 31 man? You know, and see, the man is the head. Don't get it twisted. The man is the head, and the man gives life. He's the giver of life.
Oh, you about to catch it. Here it comes.
Hold on, let me finish.
Let
me finish what I'm saying. see, I'm saying the man is the giver of life. When I say the giver, I mean, you know, do his sperm, you know, do his life, that life that comes out of him. I mean, he puts that life inside of the woman, and then her incubator allows that seed to come forth. You know, so, I mean, he's the head, he's the covering. That's what that man is. So that strength, that man is responsible for giving strength to his woman. That's why when God pulled that woman out of the man, because that man had a part that he couldn't touch, that he couldn't hold, because it was all on the inside. So that's why God pulled it out in the first place. You know, so, I mean, that virtue, the man is responsible for increasing that strength. That's why when a man goes into more than one woman, you know, he loses strength. He loses strength because he was only designed to be with one in the first place.
Ow! So when you sitting there jumping from ratchet woman to ratchet woman, and woman is jumping from ratchet man to ratchet man, they're actually traveling further away from the Lord. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
So then when they're further away from the Lord, they can't complain about the downfall that they suffer because they made those choices to be away from God to begin with. Or would you say it differently?
That's right. See, the woman absorbing, she absorbing. Like, if the man is trifling, you know, she's absorbing that. If he's a whoremonger, she absorbing that. He smoked blunts, he absorbing all that. You know, she absorbing all that. Because that's why if the man is a no good, that's why you see some sisters, she'll end up with a man that smoke blunts and hustle. The next thing you know, she's smoking. And then now she went, well, I don't mind if you sell dope out the house.
Mm.
Because she absorbed all that. So, see, when he released in her.
Wait.
Hold up.
If he smoke weed and run up in you, eventually you going to smoke weed and say, go ahead and sell the bud in the crib.
Hold up.
So if you let this ratchet man up in the crib while your kids is sleeping, how we understand why he in there with his legs crossed while your child get out of bed for breakfast? Who this? Shut up, little dude. I'm your new daddy. Oh, man. Brother, I am so glad that you said that. Because a lot of folks don't realize, in real talk, is that we attract what we give out. We attract what we accept.
Mm-hmm.
You allow a ratchet woman to lay up in your house. You allow a ratchet man to lay up in your house. The only thing that's going to be produced is either ratchet children or a ratchet situation. And so I am so happy that you said that. But now let me ask you this, brother. In your travels, now you make Christian hip-hop. And Lord knows you do a very good job at it. We're going to try to play some before the night is over. What's that like when you go into churches, and I'm going to stick with the churches for right now, because it's not I'm not going at the churches. I'm not beating up the churches. I'm just going to have the conversations that you and I have. When you go into churches, and we know that churches are traditional, you know that churches want things a certain way, even if it's been 60 years, 80 years, 100 years in the making. How are you received? And how are you perceived in those situations with the music that you create?
You're saying how was I received before everything happened and afterwards?
How are you perceived now and how are you received? Because, you know, the minute that you say hip-hop to some folks, the negativity starts. And I can understand why.
Right.
And when folks hear what you do, it's still connected to music that originally was set up for something else. Can they actually look past what they're used to be able to see what you're trying to do? And could you explain how they do that?
Yeah, for the most part, see, if you got a heart after the things of God, if you have a heart after God, you're going to receive the things of God point blank. A lot of people feel like, see, if you want to judge whether, you know, gospel rap or Christian hip-hop or holy hip-hop is of God, just listen to the person's lyrics. And if it doesn't glorify God, turn it off. You know, if that's your cup of tea, you know, if you're in the church, you know, if you ain't glorifying God, then, you know, you already know where it's from. And that's just like with anybody you deal with in the street. If they, you got to ask yourself, okay, is day of God? There's only two forces in the world, the power of God, the power of the devil. Is what you talking from God or is it from the devil?
Mm. That's deep, bro, because, you know, a lot of folks don't stop and think that. They would like to believe that their power is the power that's in place and that their power is going to have some say, but yet they give that power away to a lot of the evil things that go on when the Lord actually says, if you have faith, you could actually move a mountain, you could actually do the things that Jesus did, and the proof is back to the scriptures. The disciples did the same type of healing that Jesus did, casted out demons as Jesus did. So the proof was because they had ultimate faith, they were able to be exactly what Jesus was. Somehow the devil has convinced us that we're not that anymore, so yet we don't attempt to be that.
Right.
So when you're putting this music together, how do you actually get these pastors to allow you to rock when it means stepping away from. Now, you said the term Sadducees and Pharisees. Now, I know a lot of folks are going, what are those? Those were the major religious forces of the time of Jesus. They were the keepers of the religious keys, so to speak. And Jesus came to snatch those keys back and destroy everything that they built, but it cost. So I'm asking you, in your Jesus walk, how do you get these pastors to buy in to even let you stand in front of the flock? Because we know how overprotective they can be.
Right. Well, I think the thing with me is, like, when I first started Holy Hip Hop in, like, 2004, my first album, like, Get Jesus, Die Trying, did that at Eastern Records under a brother named Rod Harrison, who was did some instrument work for the Commodores and stuff like that. So he let me rock out. He let me rock out because I went to all the churches, and I was like, yo, I got something to say. Can I record? Can I use your studio equipment? They was like, nah. It was like, nah. And this is like 2003, 2004. This is before, you know, gospel rap was even more accepted as it is today. It was just hard back then. It was just crazy. And they wouldn't let me rock out back then. So I just, you know, I just began networking and just built, you know. I think one thing I realized when I did a Baptist church revival in like 2005 or 2006, and they didn't have no instruments there, so I spit a cappella. And once I spit a cappella, the old mothers of the church, they would just, you know how they put their head forward with their glasses down, like, okay, what are you saying? Okay, he talking right. okay, yeah. Let him rock out. And, you know, the mother's like, okay, he's straight. And so I realized early on in my walk that if you want pastors and stuff to let you in, first of all, you can't come there with your pants sagging down talking about representing God. They're going to be like, if you don't get up out of my church quickly, you can't do it like that. You're gonna have to be led by the Spirit of God.
Mm. And how was your work perceived by the cats in the street that was used to you doing what now, by your own words, was music that was devil inspired? How are they now with you holding your ground on being that Christian dude? How are they with that when you present yourself as that? You can even tell them what they call you. As you've told me many times, what they used to call you, even though you're not that dude no more in the studio.
Oh yeah. One thing about it is that when I go to the studio, it's, you know, we got Muslims there and everything like that, man. You know, dudes, you know, all kind of walks of life, and you know, I come there and I be faith walker, and they, you know, and they try to come at me and they're like, yo, I'm on my dean. I'm like, you know. And then when I tell them about their dean, I come to find out they really ain't on their dean like they claim to be on their dean. And, you know, then come to find out they, you know, they do more other things than other things. So, you know, people show me love. They definitely show me love. And they definitely, I let my life speak for itself, you know, because I know it was God that brought me through, and I know he brought me through for a purpose. So, you know, I just, you know, go in the studio. I just do what I have to do and just allow God to be glorified, man. And shout out to Rod ESP, Warfield Records, because they always show me love, and Kevin Thurl since day one, because I came as a gangster rapper first. I was a gangster rapper first, and then, you know, they never see me do a Mace, you know, they never see me do a Mace type of thing, you know, come back and, you know, let me get on the track with some shoot 'em up and bang bang type stuff. I never did that, you know. Once I say bye to Crew Love, once I said bye to CL, it was just, that was it. And they never see me waver like that. And that's one thing they respect about me. And so when they don't have no problems, let me pray for their families. And, you know, we join in a circle and lead prayer, because they're like, yo, he real, man. Because, you know, all this work and everything that be going on around him, and he's still talking about Jesus, man. Yeah, he thorough. You know, so, you know, it's when people who are still in the streets show you love, like, yo, you know, when you come around dudes who in gangs and all of that stuff, and then they say, yo, man, I don't know what you got, but you got it, man. You know, and I, you know, I give praise and honor to God, so that's how that go.
We on the radio, honey. You have to open your mouth.
You know what?
My wife forgot we were doing interviews. She just sitting there chilling, and she was enjoying the interview, too. She forgot she's supposed to be part of it. Yeah.
I enjoy listening to Faith Walker speak. So, yeah.
You know, when she was in the car, we normally talking on the phone, Faith. Yeah.
Yeah.
don't make it funny. What I was going to say is because we have a lot of people making comments on a Facebook page, the GQ Pal Facebook page, and if they want to call in and ask Faith Walker questions.
Hold on. We're not going to questions yet. I know folks. Not yet. I know they're waiting.
They have a lot.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to get to the questions. Listen, they're going to put a man up in a minute. Let me get the details in.
Let me ask Faith Walker a question.
Yes, please. Before we open up the phone, they start trying to tear the brother out.
So, Faith Walker, of course, we asked you to be a part of the wordplay, the second wordplay.
Oh, Lord, wordplay to the foundation of soul. You see how the co-owner don't have no idea what we create.
You didn't let me finish.
Yeah, you just jammed up the name, first of all. You're fired. We'll talk later.
Talk about jamming up the name. You jammed up the name of the show for 6 weeks. Come on.
Okay.
Anyway, can I please ask Faith Walker my question?
Get it right.
Thank you.
Yes.
When we asked you to be a part of the wordplay...
still jamming the name
still
up?
Still jamming it up. Wordplay 2. You know, you jumped at the opportunity, and I have to say, you were one of my favorite. I can't say you were my favorite because I don't want to make anyone else mad, but you were one of my favorite authors and poets in the Wordplay series, in the Wordplay 2 book. And I just want to know, where did you get your inspiration for the poems?
Man, pain.
Woo.
Pain. If anybody got the wordplay, I know a lot of people do, and if you don't have it, you need to go and cop that. It's Foundation of the Soul. You'll find out what's in my soul through the pieces that are in that book, because those are pieces that tell you what I'm about. And, I mean, you know, it's not religious. It's real. And, I mean, even things that I feel about double-minded and just, you know, a godless day versus a godless night. And, I mean, wordplay, the inspiration for those things, it came from a place of brokenness, man, and realization. I think, you know, Brother Leroy, he got a piece in there called Intervention, and it's like, you know, God intervened on my behalf, you know what I mean? Once I took self out the way, I was able to just be that man that I was called to be. I ain't started living until 2007. I ain't started living, you know what I mean? I'm at peace now. And, I mean, whenever a man is at peace with himself, well, he realizes, man, I really don't need a woman, to be quite honest. And I thought I'd never say that. You know, but, I mean, it's not good that man should be alone either. But I'm just saying, I'm used to depending on the Lord for so much right now. And I'm actually kind of petrified of dealing with some of these individuals out here because, you know, a lot of people ain't had an experience like myself and a lot of other brothers or a lot of other sisters who are just trusting the Lord for everything, so... When it came to wordplay, I just jumped at the opportunity because it was just an opportunity to express myself, to express what's in my soul, and I acquired a lot of things in my soul over the years, and I was able to be a blessing to so many people, you know, as God was using me, man. So it's just about writing about, just being the author of the pain, you know, just sitting back in a room with pain and let you know what she was telling me, you know, so.
Well, you know, if anybody is wondering what we're talking about, Wordplay 2, The Foundation of Soul, was the creation that Tiff and I came up with to highlight poets from around the country. In the book, there are 13 poets from 10 different states, and their job was to create original pieces connected to the word soul. Because if you look up the definition of soul, there are 10 different definitions in the English language. We came up with 12 subjects that are connected to those 10 definitions, and we asked the poets to go in. I gave them the freedom to write anything that they wanted as long as it didn't have profanity and as long as it wasn't of a overtly sexual nature, because I wanted everyone and anyone to be able to read this anthology. And Faith headlines, along with the other 12, very powerful pieces, because when you can see where some of the poets had taken their work from. Yes, some of the areas were painful. Some of the areas were delightful. Some of the areas were just straight from their soul. And it is a very interesting read. And I have to give a shout-out to Nanette Buchanan, because she just told me yesterday that at a book event, a couple of folks bought copies of the Wordplay 2 book, and it sparked a conversation that they came back and had a discussion with her about the pieces in the book. And it was tremendous to hear, because I knew when I chose the 13 poets, this is what I was expecting, and I knew that Faith was going to be one of those folks to anchor that because, well, here's what we're going to do, because I know folks want to call in and speak to this tremendous brother. We're going to take a break. We're going to listen to one of Faith's songs. I'm not even going to tell him which ones. We're going to keep him in the dark of which song is going to be played. He's given me so many to work with, but we're going to play a song, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, the phone lines will be open. So, 646-200-3838. Now, here's what I'm going to do. You can rock out and ask a couple of questions. You got about 30 to 45 seconds to a minute. Now, I'm not just saying that for you, T, because I know you probably got a whole notepad full of questions. But the reason why is we'll see how many people call in. But, yo, feel free to ask the brother whatever you want. The floor is going to be open to you. And we want to have some fun. So go ahead and anything that we've discussed tonight, or if you have anything else that you want to ask him about, the Q&A will start as soon as we come back. This is Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. That is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I am KL Belvin. That is Brother Faith Walker, and we will be back right after this song.
Yes, sir. This is KL Belvin from New York City. When I was out there chasing skirts and thinking that women was all I needed, the Lord touched me on the shoulder and led me home to my wife. And by leading me to my wife, he led me to him.
Hey, yo, KL, let's take it to Brooklyn, man. Let's go.
DKP. Yeah. Hope boy. Chrysler 300M, man. Never return to the vomit. I never go back on my promise. I'm built on the rock, he's the hardest. I never go back on my promise. Man, love darkness rather than light. Screw up my whole past, rep Jesus with my life. No time for fake ones. That's why I keep my grass cut for them sick ones. I just miss your war story, how you cake them. I'd rather hear about Christ, how it shake them. You like living the old man, that's why you a cold man. Gain the whole world and losing your soul, man. Common denominator was born in the image of a phenomenal player. Truth met Christ and made an honorable mayor. Me and you are not the same. Took music, made a classic out of pain. From a fatherless child who was wrapped in blood stain. You don't know about Christ, you drop a cup of thugs pain. The real star face, who took the star face. Mind wanted driven in contact God's place. I don't know Hebrew or Greek, but I know that death is the cousin of sleep. And once in a man's soul, exactly what he reaps. If he sold to the flesh, the flesh is what he eats. Real recognize real and real know how it feels. Man, hottest in the dark skin and come around real. So I'm a whole fast rep Jesus with my life. Man, love darkness, it's, he's not right, right. Never return to the vomit, vomit. I never go back on my promise, promise. I'm built on the rock, he's the hardest, hardest. I never go back on my promise. The armor of God, you can't bomb this. I never go back on my promise, promise. Jesus in the boat, I'm the calmest, calmest. I never go back on my promise. Never go back, man. Foundation stacking, Pac-Man acting. Let's get it cracking. Ambassador of God in the building. Tell me who's willing. Scream out of style, demon killing. Everybody wanna prophesy, full of propaganda. Sanctified grammar, the word is my hammer. Man, I can't stand her, no love in the city. I'm focused New Jerusalem, the kingdom looking pretty. Duck committee, lady kitty. Taekwondo, this is DKP, the blood washed my soul. When I'm old, I reflect, man, how I got over. Living life purified, keeping it sober. I'm shining in that Christian, more than a Christian. I'm a king, I'm a priest, man. Every day I'm fishing, see the hate in your eyes. You need to be delivered, this is Holy Ghost talking, always hot. Never simmer, you a dinner for the devil. A buffet, a nightcap, full of broken promises. You sweet when he bite that. I'm Biggie the Apostle, Tupac the Prophet. I'm a jerk, I'm a synagogue with Christ at the top, black. Man, you need to stop that. Wrestling the scriptures, error in the faith while your fruit getting bitter. So deliver that doctrine that Christ just preached it. High enough for heaven, but low enough to reach it. Never return to the vomit, vomit. I never go back on my promise, promise. I'm built on the rock, he's the hardest, hardest. I never go back on my promise. The armor of God, you can't bomb this. I never go back on my promise, promise. Jesus in the boat, I'm the calmest, calmest. I never go back on my promise. Never return to the vomit, vomit. I never go back on my promise, promise. I'm built on the rock, he's the hardest, hardest. I never go back on my promise. The armor of God, you can't bomb this. I never go back on my promise, promise. Jesus in the boat, I'm the calmest, calmest. I never go back on my promise.
back on my promise. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. That was Promise by Faith Walker and Roddy S.P. out of South Carolina. And, yeah, I had a little small part at the beginning, but, I ain't about me. It's about that talented brother that we have on the line right now, Brother Faith Walker. And let me tell you something. The brother is ultra-talented because he pulls clips and things from places and puts them inside the music. And I just posted inside the group, wait till you hear the soundtrack to the Proverbs 31 man. Yeah, it's long, but it's worth it. And so we're going to debut that on Father's Day. But there's so many other tracks. And let me tell you something. And actually, Faith, I tell you what, before we go any further, before we open up the lines to the callers, do me a favor and just give them the blog site. Give them, you know, some information about your business background, too, real quick, because you got some things on there also.
Interpraisement.blogspot. You can definitely check that out. Be sharing some thoughts on there. You know, shout out to Braven Publishing. Definitely got the blog on there. You can check out my thoughts about certain things we posted up there. Also got Interpraisement Media Group International. We just got the page up. Go to Facebook. We got somebody on there that's running that page. Definitely like us. Amen. It just, you know, we under the theocracy of God. We do kingdom business. Our Maker Living Waters. We do music production. You got gospel production. You need that anointed brother on your track. Hit me up. KL know how to get in contact with me. I'm very secure. After all I've been through, security is pretty tight getting a hold of me. So if you can find KL, you can find me. He'll tell you how to reach me. No doubt.
And so no ratchetness with me, because I will go to the ski mask and ask the Lord to forgive me afterwards. Man, ain't playing no games here. But real talk, man. We're going to open up the phone line, 646-200-3838. Come on in and give us your comments, questions, anything for this brother, man. You know, if you just want to, whatever. The lines will be open. Feel free. Come on in. We'd love to hear from you, man, because this is the type of brother that you want to get behind simply because there's too much talent in this man to be bottled up. But like anything in the world, it has to be discussed. And the more it's discussed, the more people hear about it, the more doors that open. And you don't have too many folks that are out here doing what they need to do and placing the Lord's name on it and being solid about it. Yeah, a lot of folks throw the Lord's name on it, but they don't really mean it. And you guys in the group, I posted the link to his blog site. If you're wondering why From Gigolo to Jesus picture came up, because I'm actually helping run the site for the brothers. So I have some stuff on there that I help out with because, like I said, security is very tight. We try to make sure that the stuff that we put online has been checked and cleared by myself, because I actually run the site for Brother Faith because I don't want him to get in any trouble with anybody about anything that he puts online, so as I put my name on. And can't nobody question my name, so no one can come at me and say, well, why? Nothing. So that's how much I believe in this brother, is that I'm actually going to put my name on it. And that was one of the things that I said in the past when he was incarcerated. The real test is the two of us, not just to the man incarcerated, but to those people that say that they're rocking with him. And so this is what I do. We have our first caller. We have Angie on the line. Angie, are you there, love?
I am. Yes, I am.
Good evening, Angie.
Can you hear me?
Good evening. How you doing, Angie?
I'm good. How's everybody?
Everyone good. Welcome to Reality and Relationships. Is this your first time calling?
Tonight, yes. It's my first. I've been listening, you know, for a little while. I don't know if you know, I'm now one of the new hosts on the Diva Squad on Wednesday nights, too, so.
Okay, all right. Well, I haven't had a chance to listen because I'm running around here crazy, but welcome, Paul. You brought me. So, yo, what do you have to say to Brother Faith Walker tonight?
What I have to say, at first, I want to commend him for his growth, you know, and, you know, for following the wisdom of the Lord, you know, because that's what, when we pray, we have to ask for his spirit and his wisdom. Otherwise, we'll still be going on our own merits, and it'll just, you know, lead you back to where you just came from. So it's, again, it's like a breath of fresh air to, you know, to see somebody that is walking around with the armor on. You know, it's the way the world is running today is just in such chaos. that, you know, you don't really hear too much of that going on. Not even in our own churches, you know what I'm saying?
The devil would like to be that way. And in our churches, remember, you know, people forget that it was the church that Jesus came to destroy. Faith and I talk about that on a regular, is that folks forget that he said, I'm here to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Man had put together, and somehow we went and found those pieces and tried to put them back together because we were unhappy with whatever. But Faith, can you more about that? Speak on it, Faith.
Well, as far as, you know, putting everything back together, I want to make sure I answer her question clearly.
No, I'm saying in terms of with the church not holding up its end. You and I have talked about.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things we talk about, what Jesus actually came here for and what he was actually his mission was when he got here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he want a church without no spot, no blemish. I mean, that's what he wants. But
right.
I mean, I think the pain ain't come from when I was going through. Because I mean, in prison, you know, dudes with that kind of charge, you look at a certain way. So I went through all of that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Even COs was down with the hit and everything. They would throw me in the gang blocks and everything like that. It was like, yeah, you know, vice lords, warlords. Yeah, does all of that stuff. Yeah. Blood scripts. Yeah. Have at it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to trust God, and so I end up not being respected till brothers was being respected because of God. Yeah,
right,
that's it, man. Ain't nothing but God keeping this dude up in here. Ain't nothing but God. You know what I'm saying? Because every time something goes down, it'll never happen. You know, it'll never happen. And this ain't been one day. This ain't been 2 days. This from a period of years. Showers.
Wow.
Showers, lunchroom. I'm talking about to the point where COs will be like, hey, yo, 5 minutes. Yo, gospel rapper, yo, we're going to hit him. And then you hearing this, and you be like, all right, well, Lord. You know, the people don't know that actually not knowing when you're going to live or die is actually worse than knowing when you're going to die.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So going through that in the church, just turn their backs on me. I mean, the church that I was affiliated with at that time, they turn their backs on me, and then they just really started profiting off of me. So they started profiting off of me and stuff like that, and just, you're like, yeah, he's the prodigal son, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we the church that he used to be with, you know, he the prodigal son, but you know what, you know, and then people just, you know, a lot of people that profited from me going through this, you know, even one gospel rapper right now got an album out called Faith Walker.
Well, you know what it is. That's because they're people first. You understand what I'm saying? And then a lot of times people are more into the religion than they are after the spirit.
Then you
get into titles and, you know, and stuff like that, which takes my thing. It takes away from my purpose here, which is to spread the love of Christ. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times
you on that list now that you don't, you know, you can't tell them that the religion is not real. Cause now
I didn't say it wasn't real.
What I'm saying is when folks want to practice the religion instead of practicing the actual walk, that's why I'm saying they don't want to put you on a list, because folks will tell you they're religious, but then they lost the spiritual and the faith side of it. And I think what you said is very important, is that to practice it, we got to live it. And we got to be examples of it. And too often, folks will slide that armor on Sunday because it works.
Yeah.
But then
Sunday
take it
only.
Off, church is over because they're going to the barbecue.
Right.
And, you know, you say, well, what did the pastor talk about on Sunday? I don't know, but it was great. But it didn't even matter. Whereas, you know, you when you suffer real pain, and the pain comes from really understanding that I got to live this. I got to become this.
Can I share a quick story?
Sure.
Real quick? I won't take up a lot of time, I promise. I used to go to this Pentecostal church.
James, because I want to try to shoot us down when we go to our cars.
I used to attend a Pentecostal church. So at one point I stopped going to church or whatever, and then when I went back, they were giving communion. So the pastor, he didn't give me communion.
Wow.
So I asked him, why wouldn't you serve me? Why wouldn't you offer me communion? You don't have to serve it to me. You offer it to me because that's between me and the Lord. If I take
that's
it,
your step.
Yeah, And yeah. Now, I said, why wouldn't you do that? He said, that's my way of protecting you because I don't know how you live during the week. Now, the reason I stopped going, little do he know, now, his right-hand man, which is his elder in his church, I didn't say it to him, but I said to myself, do you know this man was just at my house trying to beckon me for sex, but you fed him communion and wouldn't feed it to me, not knowing, and I shot him down. You understand what I'm saying? So I stopped going there after that. I just stopped going there. Now I belong to a non-denominational church. So it's like, you know, it's a straight Christian church. I said, you know what? If I took the grape unjustly, knowing that I was wrong for taking the grape, that's on me.
Exactly.
But, you know, for you not to offer it to me, I think you was out of position.
And you're 100%.
Well, I will say this and keep it moving because I know you want to take another call. I will say this briefly and just keep it moving. There's different churches for different people for different periods of growth. Everybody, growth and development is different. There are churches. Every, you know, it's a church for everybody. You can, like, some churches, like, it's like this. If you're not in a church that's empowering you to go to that next level or sparking you or making you feel like you, the message is not hitting home and making you want to do right, then you're at the wrong church. But if you're in the church and you know what I'm saying, you doing this and that and, you know, and they're just letting you rock out like that, then you don't need to be at that church because it ain't causing no growth there. That's how you know if you're in the right church or not. The right church will cause you to be like, yo, I need to get better. I need to go higher. I know God is calling me higher, so this is what I need to do. And it's, but if you're not, if you're in a church, you know, you get all this and all of this stuff, and then, you know, it sounds good, but I mean,
yeah,
what did you actually say?
Oh Lord,
you know, what's going to make me
say?
Go ahead, KO. I'm gonna get started up on here. I'm keeping
no,
reality
right.
Relationship.
Listen, I'll let you rock out, but now I want to address what Angie said, and anybody listening right now. If you want to get in and speak to the host, just press 1. We'll let you come on. Just don't wild out. We're not going to attack the church tonight, but we are going to speak about the things that we experience and the things that we know and the things that we do. I want to speak on something that Angie brought up, is that when a pastor makes a judgment, like he made, I don't know what you do during the week, so I'm not going to offer you the body of Christ, and there's something wrong there because you don't know, he doesn't know what Angie overcame to even get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I have to understand that I am a man of God, but I am not connected to any particular church at the moment. That doesn't mean that in my heart I wouldn't like a church home. It just means I haven't found one that has called me to come and be a part of it. So I do my connection, my walk with whoever I'm around. See, I have a problem when folks make choices like that because you don't know if this woman walked off the street, left a pimp last night to even be there on a Sunday. And if it is the first Sunday of the month, remembering when she was a child, remembering something that said, come there, something brought you to that church that Sunday that had nothing to do with that pastor. And so for him to make that decision, this is what creates the problem for those who are trying to find their way in the faith, not the religion, in the faith, because they and they say, well, you just said I'm not worth stepping up here to get this, so why am I here? So now they leave. And so all of a sudden now, this man might have turned you off to God. Forget his church. He might have turned you off to God, and that is what the Lord talks about we shouldn't do. That's actually what Jesus was talking about when he got at the Pharisees and Sadducees. If y'all sit in the big chairs, if y'all act a certain way, well, then when somebody walks up in here in the church and looks around, I don't want to be here because I feel out of place.
Yes.
Nobody should ever feel out of place when they walk in the house of God because you do not know what brought them through those doors.
Yep.
So I'm glad that you brought that to the table simply because, you know, it's little things like that. I remember Tiff and I was in church, and, you know, they said stand if you're new. We stood. If another person would have came over and grabbed me by my arm to try to drag me to the altar, I'm good. Get your hands off me before I punch you in your face. I'm good. Bobby, you keep putting your hands on me.
Yeah, you violated right now. Back up.
I'm standing up. I'm acknowledging that I am a new visitor to your church, but you don't have to keep dragging me when God says he can hear every word before you even come out my mouth.
Nice.
So standing here and I'm acknowledging that I'm in the house of the Lord, I don't need anybody to do anything else with me but let me rock out.
Right. You don't really need nobody's approval to even be there.
And that's the mistake that so many make. And I want anybody that's listening and that's going to listen to this to understand it is about the faith and the walk within that faith. But what it means is that you first have to have a strong understanding of what's right, what is wrong, and then find a church home that is going to enhance you. Like Faith just said, there's different churches for different people at different places in their lives. Tiff got baptized in a church, and one day we were sitting there in that same church, and the pastor's wife jumped up and said, come to me, and everything that you could ever want would be given to you. And, you know, the church is losing its mind. Yeah, sister, she is. And I leaned over, and I shook my head. Tiff said, what's the matter, baby? I said, got to go. She said, what you mean, got to
go?
I said, I've never, I said, no way, I'll take it back. Let me get this right. I said, nowhere in the Bible does it say that a holy person says, come to me. Every holy person endowed with the Holy Spirit says, in the name of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of the spirit of Abraham, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and they never, in the spirit of Jesus, wherever you are in the Bible, not one of the holy people endowed with the Holy Spirit speak about themselves first. But I said, you know what? Not happening. So I, at that point, we never went back. And what's funny, it was a friend of mine who was on the deacon board. He kept hitting me up. How come you ain't come back to the church? Now, not to disrespect this church. I just said Tiff and I are going in a different direction because now that church didn't fill us at that moment. It served a purpose. She got baptized. She was able to acknowledge the Lord through what they put together. But after that, we had outgrown because once we saw what we saw and knowing the scriptures, it was time to leave. We got another. Angie, I just want to say thank you. And before you go, please tell me about your show on Wednesday so they can find you if they want to talk to you and hear you again, please.
Yes, yes, yes. You got to join the Diva Squad of Love and Love Fantasies. Pardon me. Love Fantasies Wednesday night from 7 to 9 with myself, Rachel, and T. So if they, you know, we have some serious topics going on, you know. And,
same topic. Same website, same phone number, correct?
Same website, 646-200-3838, GQ Palace. You know, get on there and chat it up with us. Press that one. We're not here to really fix anybody or anything. Everything you state is totally your opinion. So if you can use something we got, then use it. You know what I'm saying? But,
Thank you so much, sister. Listen, we
You're welcome. Thanks for the time. And again, God bless you, Faith.
No doubt, no doubt. God bless you too, sister.
All right, moving on to the next caller. Do we have Shy Love on the phone? Is that Shy on the phone?
Yes. Hi, Tiff. Hi, Shy. Yes.
What's up? That's my friend that's in that movie I hate. What's the name of that movie?
Oh, yeah, don't hate it. You love Antonio Banderas. That's a favorite actor of all time.
Well, I told you the only reason why I noticed the movie because girl that you was in.
No. It's Antonio Banderas, your favorite actor. Why
no, no, no.
Is he denying
First of all,
it? This?
I
he
ain't messing
knows.
With no Spanish dude that can barely speak English trying to teach
We're
her.
We're not gonna get into that today.
Hey, just checking. Anyway, Shy Love, what's going on, darling? You want to speak to my man?
I do. Hi, Faith. Nice to meet you.
How you doing, sis?
I'm good. I honestly felt everything you said, and then especially down to the church. I feel like today I'm really supposed to listen in because I've been feeling alone with that. I'm going to try to make it real short. But long story short, I got with a dude. I married a dude. We was going to church together, and we went before the pastor and all that. So, you know, about a year into my marriage, I knew something was going on. I knew something was wrong, and I tried to go to the church and be like, hey, I need help. Something's going on. Well, you guys got to come to church more often. And at this point, we was having difficulties moving around and stuff. So, and the church was moving around, too. So I couldn't get to church every Sunday. But I was still reaching out to my first lady and my pastor, like, hey, you know, and I'm not trying to say nothing bad about them or whatever. They married us or whatever the case may be. But my thing was, dude, like, I was pretty much screaming out, crying out for help. Didn't know where to go. Literally crying tears almost every day. And was trying to even text them, even now that I'm getting divorced, I'm like, I really am losing my mind. I need to talk to somebody. And they're like, well, you're back in the church. And I'm like, okay, but I need to talk to somebody now. Like, I can't make the church on Sunday or whatever the case may be. And it just feels like all the hoopering, the hollering, was going on, and I'm a genuinely, I'm not trying to be digging myself up, but I'm a nice person. I treat you like you treat me, and even sometimes when you treat me bad, I still am a good person. So I go to the church or whatever, and I don't understand why after there's attitudes or people talking about each other or you're giving me a side face look, and it's like, why? I don't understand. You just praising God. You were just hooping, hollering, screaming. And now I'm really turned off of church, to be honest with you, but my perspective of God didn't change. But my perspective of church overall that I've been going my entire life has changed. And I'm praying that I'm doing the right thing. But my perspective of even marriage has even changed now and people, because there could be a person that can go before God or you marry the person and they say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm this, I'm that. And they proceed to be this person to everybody, even the church, and could turn around and be the devil in disguise. And even to this day, right now, I have an aunt, a cousin, and my mother kind of, because they don't believe what I'm saying, it's just that powerful. Like that the devil could be so busy, and people could just look, well, she's not in church all the time anymore, so we're not going to help her. I mean, I know it's something I'm jumping around, but it actually all ties into everything you said, from the ratchet woman to the church. That's why I'm trying to get it all in at one.
Gotta rush down. We ain't gonna cut
Sorry.
You off. No, we ain't gonna cut you off. You can rock, but faith.
Okay.
Talk about Jesus of Nazareth. What was especially important about Jesus of Nazareth? What happened when he went to Nazareth? Yeah, I'm speaking to you, faith. Well, tell Sean, what happened when Jesus went to Nazareth?
Well, Jesus went to Nazareth. He wasn't even received by. He went to his own receive him not. You know what I mean? He went to his own receive him not. I think the thing what I was just listening for while you were just talking just now, in the book of Acts, the apostles, they came in, the people, the believers, there was a community of people, and they came with what they had, and they brought it to the apostles' feet. Not so the apostles could run their lives, but because they had the wisdom of God to know where there was a need at. And they were a community of believers coming together. So you go to a church, you're like, look, my life's about to get cut off. Me and my husband, we about to be separated and stuff like that. Look, we're a community of believers. What needs to be done? Yeah, I hear what you're saying, preaching and everything like that. I hear what you say about the kingdom of God. But when we going to take all this kingdom talk and make it and bring it into fruition? And
yeah.
I think this is what a lot of the church has been lacking at, because one of the things that Jesus said, you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. See, you know, I know a lot of people say, okay, well, how do I know if a person real in God or not? And see, sad to say, a lot of brothers from the streets, they just drop their dope off and they just go straight to the church, because they know a lot of the sisters, they want a man of God now. They want somebody who doesn't, you know, do those things that they're accustomed to in the world. So now you got the brothers who are trifling out there. They're like, you know what? Yeah. So
I don't know how you didn't sleep at night like that, though. Like, how do you literally sleep at night knowing that you don't feel convicted? Like, I feel, I know I do something wrong, I feel convicted at times. So I don't understand.
Let me jump in here. I'm going to tell you why I'm cutting you off, and I want to explain something to you. Anybody who can lie to themselves can lie to anybody else. And anybody who can stand in church and lie to the Lord lie to anybody else. Now, how do they sleep at night? Well, they're going to sleep fine because they're going to try to ignore the spirit inside them. But the one thing that the Lord has given all of us is a part of that Holy Spirit. That's what the whole day of Pentecost is about, is that we receive the gift of a small portion of God inside of us. And that Holy Spirit screams when we're doing things that are negative. Now, the way that people drown those screams out is by doing more.
Mm-hmm.
Of what's negative, or doing a bunch of negative things to try to drown that voice out. But where the Lord sees through all of that, or pushes through all of that, through the Spirit that He's given us, is that you will see that certain aspects of their lives keep crumbling.
Mm.
And you lose faith in marriage. You cannot lose faith in the church itself in terms of what the church is supposed to represent. You can lose faith in man, because the Lord says don't put your faith in man to begin with. What you have to remember is that what this is about is everything that you've gone through is actually pushing you to get to know the Lord better. So the more that you learn what the Lord is about, not only will you be able to see things clearer, you'll actually start to go back and look at things that you used to do and say, wow, how did I ever let that rock? So get sullen about what's going on, because if you're not where you should be in your walk, you cannot be expected to see things anyway. That's like asking an infant to understand college-educated work. But that's why in the scriptures, when the Lord says, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But once I became a man, I put away my toys. Well, we have to actually become that. That's what I mean when I say become living scripture. If I grow in my connection to God, well, then the church can't fool me. If I grow in my connection to what Jesus was, well, then a woman can't fool me. A man can't fool you. The closer I get to God, the harder it'll be for a man to pry your heart from God. Well, then that goes what Faith was just saying about the fruit that the tree produces. If you are connected to God and has a strong understanding of the scriptures, well, then that man has to become not just a Proverbs 31 man. He has to give his life to God long before he even speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we have to make sure that we study the scriptures without someone else jading us. So at first we know it, study to show ourselves approved. The Lord says it all the time. Because once I understand it now, if I study it and I'm not sure, this is what conversations like this do. Brother Faith, Brother KL, let me ask you a question. The scriptures say this. What's that mean? And if Faith is correct, he's going to give, like, I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I said, Faith, tell her about Jesus in Nazareth. He knew exactly what to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
We're in two different places in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But we both know that each other understands the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what you have to surround yourself with. That's why kingdom building is about kingdom connecting. See, the kingdom is not a physical kingdom. The kingdom is the spirit that we harbor inside these bodies.
That's what I'm realizing now. It's more so, like, I always thought that marriage, you're saving yourself for marriage to get married in the church. I'm sorry. I now don't believe that anymore. I'm done with, like, to wait to get married in a church with this person who prayed with me every day, this, that, and the third. And it's not about that. I think it's really more about I believe that you're married within your heart long before you even get to the altar.
Because Tiff and I were married right here in the backyard of this house.
Yeah, and I believe that. I believe
it outlasted folks who had the gigantic church wedding, so I'm not even.
Uh-huh.
It's
about your
partner.
Yes, and I really believe, I didn't think that, or I didn't really realize that. Like, my eyes have been opened up after all of this, and I have family members turn on me and stuff, because it's like, you know, when you don't want to speak about what goes on in your home, because as a woman, they teach you, well, Southern women, apparently, older Southern women, a lot of them settle, I'm looking at. Even my family members, I see that they settle. And it's like, okay, well, as long as he's this, and, oh, at least you have a man. And it's like, whoa, if I have a daughter, I'm still not teaching her that.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it has to do with the way people were raised, and some folks are going to hang on no matter what.
Yeah, and it's not,
you have to learn for yourself. And if you don't know where to start, hit me up later. I'll give you some things that you can actually pick up to study on your own. And then, because you need small group instruction as well as you need folks around you who can help guide you in whatever way. But listen, I'm going to stop here because I'm going to get ready to close out a little bit. But, darling, I appreciate the support, and you keep working on your book. So don't get sideways.
I will not. And thank you, Faith. This is really a great topic, great show, and it really enlightened me even more. Thank you.
All right,
thank you. Keep striving, sister.
Yes, all right. Brother Faith, we got a couple more minutes, and that was Sha Love. We want to give a shout-out to Sha Love and to Angie for calling in. We hope that you spread the word and tell folks to tune in. Brother Faith, as we get ready to close up in these last couple minutes, what final words you have for anybody listening out there? You got about a minute and a half. What final words would you say to anybody that's listening tonight that you want them to know about you right now?
Yeah, what you see is what you get. I mean, a lot of times, a person, you got to know a person in the spirit first before you try to know a person in the natural. The rich man and Lazarus, they was two people. They lived two different lives, but at the end, you find out who was real and who was phony. But a lot of times in the natural, we go about what we see. We go about the person who has this, who has that, and have all this going on. And then you have somebody who may be an outcast of society, or but you know looked at a certain way. But at the end, you find out that, you know what, Lazarus and that rich man, the rich man was really the one in error. You know, the rich man, he had the Benz with the 24s and everything. But, you know, there was a man who just loved the Lord. He had the Lord in his heart, and it was just about his father's business. And at the end, it was just two different things. So I think the thing I would want people to know about me is that I'm a faith walker, and I walk by faith, and I don't go by sight. I don't go by what it looked like. I go by what it is, and I love the Lord. And there's a song on YouTube. Why don't you check it out? It's called I Need More of You by Shekinah Glory. And that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Is, you know, whatever I need to do to get to you, Lord, I do. If you said the color blue was a sin, I wouldn't wear it, point blank. So just get more God in your life. Be serious.
They say zealots don't exist anymore in the world. Listen, I want to say to you, because you, like I said, you and I talk all the time, brother. I want to say thank you for coming on. I also want to thank you for having me on your show. Now, listen, tell them where you're going to be after you get off here, because I know you got another show that you do. And also tell them about your show on GQ Palace. Tell them about everything. Tell them about everything that you got going on radio-wise so they can tune in and listen to you. Give the websites everything. We give shameless plugs here. Go ahead and tell them everywhere they can find
you. Hey, go on Facebook. Inner Praisement Media Group International. We just got the page up there going. You could be one of the first ones to like it up. Tell a friend, tell everybody. Yo, we got our Inner Praisement Media Group. We also on Blog Talk as well. We are definitely affiliate of GQ Palace. We show love to GQ Palace and everything they do. I'm also on Crossroad Temple. 9 o'clock, we interview the best gospel artists, very best unsigned, underground gospel rappers, rhythm and praise, you name it, we do it. And GQ Palace is butter, and I'm also on Inner Praisement Media Group, also on Blog Talk. You can hit us up at blogtalk.com, blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot, where we'll be interviewing countless prophets, apostles, pastors, those who are empowering people, taking them to the next level. So we about kingdom business. Interpraisement.blogspot.com. Go over there, get hooked up, and check out Dance with Deja on YouTube by Faith Walker, Dance with Deja, R.I.P., make sure you like. We got over 1,000 hits right now, so definitely check that out. R.I.P. to Deja Blame, my goddaughter. She was killed in December last year. Shout out to Kat. Amen. Jesus' name.
Listen, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother. Listen, I want to tell you truthfully, thank you so much. You know you always got a place here. Your music is played every week. And definitely check out everything that he said. So, brother, I'm going to say goodnight to you. Tiff has actually been sitting over here nodding on me because she's tired. She's tired, but listen, from the
nodding.
Both of us, you know you have a special place with us. We got a whole lot of work to do for the Lord, man, so they better be ready
for
things that we're going to do. So, brother, from me to you and from Tiff to you, well, Tiff can tell you, wake up.
Oh, stop it.
Wake up.
We appreciate you being on the show and continue the good work. I love your music and everything you produce. I'm always dancing. Every time I hear it, continue to do what you say, blessed.
And Tiff is on a track. We'll let you hear that. We can't give it away right now. But Tiff is on one of Faith Walker's tracks too. But,
everybody clap.
Everybody clap. There we go.
Everybody clap.
Shout out to Faith Walker, everyone. That is Faith Walker. Thanks a lot, bro. Oh, what a show, man. What a show. This is just the start. We have a wonderful woman coming on. Terrell Ebony is an outstanding talent author. She'll be on next week. And Shawan, who you just heard tonight, will be interviewed in 2 weeks. She's going to tell you about her movie relationship. She gave you a little bit about her marriage situation, but we're going to go into that deeper in about 2 weeks. She's going to be our guest, and she's going to be on to really discuss what's going on with her and what that whole Hollywood thing looks like behind the camera. So shout out to Shawan Love, McKenzie, who will be on in 2 weeks. Baby doll?
Yes, love.
You want to close it out real quick?
Well, I just want to say, you know, it's funny because I was very quiet this evening because, one, I love to listen to my husband and Faith Walker talk. Even, I think they talk practically every day. A lot of times when we're on our way home, I just listen to them because they go into a realm that of deep, deep thought, and it helps me figure out some stuff in my life. So it's just amazing that to see where Faith Walker has come from, and it's all about forgiveness, honestly. You have to be very strong in forgiveness to go where he come from to where he is now and being able to move forward. So I really commend him.
So I'm just going to end it right there and say good night. God bless. Thank you for sharing the time with us. See you next Thursday.
Good night.
You know I love you, right? Nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
No, no.
Yeah. We've had some ups and downs. Made a lot of bad mistakes.
Bad mistakes.
But we've always had some good times. And through it all, you held me down. Baby. Before we touched it down. Ooh, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me. I love you too.